chapter number 3. Yes. And speaking of that, we missed it last a few times. We got to get back in line again and get going back. Yes, they do listen, no doubt about it. Acts chapter 3. Verse number 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that enter into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered and said to the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly upon us, as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, and when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof ye are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wrought that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had shown by the mouth of his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, and when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began."
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with us tonight. Give us a little something that will help us, dear Heavenly Father, along this journey. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. First of all, let me show you two or three things here and set some groundwork. Now remember chapter 3 of Acts, and the book of Acts is the Acts of the Apostles. It was written by Luke, inspired by the Holy Spirit, but it was the Acts of the Apostles. Now a lot of people get confused when reading that book of Acts, not understanding that the book of Acts was a transition. It was a transition from the time that Jesus was here during the gospel time, and he left, and it was a time between there and God using the apostles to write the word of God and finish and complete the word of God. And so in the meantime, what God did was he used and Jesus empowered the apostles. The apostles were able to do great miracles because they were given the power of God. Of course, you remember here in Acts chapter 2, in Acts chapter 1, we find them gathered up waiting as Jesus had commanded them to wait. They were gathered there, about 120, and they were waiting for the empowerment of the Holy Ghost. On the day of Pentecost, they had been promised to wait and tarry there, and they would, the Comforter would be sent to them, which was the Holy Spirit of God. Well, on the day of Pentecost, while they were together, the Holy Ghost came, and it empowered them. And of course, Peter, as you read chapter 2, he was able to have great power. This is the same Peter that was in the previous time, had been weak, had denied Christ when tempted, and several things had happened, rebuked Christ, and Christ had to rebuke him, and several things. But now Peter, being empowered by the Holy Ghost, got up and he spoke with such power. Not only that, but also he was able to speak with tongues. Now remember, this tongues is given in the book of Acts. It's for a reason. The only other chapter you find, book you find, is Corinthians, where it was being abused. But the gift was that Peter was able to preach to 14 dialects. And all 14 dialects was able to hear in their native language.
Amen.
And they were able to hear the gospel preached, and they were able to be saved. That time, 3,000 was added to the church. And they weren't started the church, they were added to the church that was tarrying there in the upper room. Then we find in chapter 3 that John and Peter comes along, and they're going into the temple. This man, he was a lame man. He'd been lame from the womb, the Bible said. And he would sit there at the beautiful gate going into the temple, and he would sit and he begged for alms. And so he was doing that as Peter and them passed by. Now he was looking for a handout. He was not looking for God. He was looking for a handout. But little did he know, God was looking for him. And so Peter and John come along, and then he stopped them and asked them for alms. As the song used to sung, Peter and silver and gold have I none. And they told him, but what we've got, we're going to give you. And so Peter reached out his hand, and he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the man was able to get strength as he rose up, and he's able to walk.
Amen.
Now, let me say this. These apostles had great power. The reason why they were given this power was that they were to perform certain miracles, and that people would be convinced that they were of God. It was during a transition where they didn't have the Word of God complete. We now have the Word of God complete. The Bible says we receive by faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Do we believe God can still work a miracle? Absolutely. Do we believe God still answered prayer? Absolutely. But this was a transition. Do I believe there are still apostles walking the earth? Absolutely not. When you find the seven churches of Asia mentioned in the Bible, only the first church age was ever mentioned in apostles. Not only that, but we also find that they were given great gifts. They were able to raise the dead. You know, there's a lot of people trying to mimic a lot of these things that the apostles did. I know over eastern Kentucky, and you go on over there into the mountains, Appalachian Mountains, there's a lot of snake handling churches. Not a lot, but there's several snake handling churches over in that area. They're trying to mimic what's given in Mark, not understanding that God was telling and foretelling some things that was going to happen to the apostles. They were going to do some things, and what happened was this. He told them that they would be able to pick up serpent, and it would not harm them. Well, you know, it's amazing. They put a couple of these snake handling churches on a TV a while back, and the pastor and his son both got bit by snakes. The pastor died, and several of them have died, and every one of them got bit, swelled up, and all this stuff, and some of them was rushed to the hospital, and all this, even though they claimed their faith, they were not go. Now, the dad didn't go, and he ended up dying. But that's not what God said would happen with apostles. God said what would happen was what happened to the apostle Paul, who was an apostle out of due season. He reached into a wood pile in the last chapters of Acts, and chapter 27, 28, and he reached into a wood pile and picked up some wood, And when he did, a venomous snake latched onto his hand. He shook it off in the fire. And they all sat around waiting for him to die. Not only did he not die, he didn't swell up or nothing. And so then they started claiming he was a god and thinking he was a god. Why? Because he had that power given to the apostles. Why, when they got snake bit, if I brought a box of snakes tonight and you started handling them around, if you got bit, I'll guarantee you what would happen to you. You'd swell up. You know why? That gift was not given to you. It was given to the apostles. Amen. It was a sign to the people. We are not saved by signs today. We're saved by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not yourself is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So what I want you to understand is that there was given the apostles certain ability. And they were able to do real issues. When they healed, they automatically, sometimes withered hands would come right back to life in the presence of everybody. And they would have people that would be known, common people that would be known to be like this man lame from his mother's womb. And everybody was used to see him sit there and beg for alms. They knew who he was. They knew what he was. And when they saw him walking and leaping and praising God, they knew something extraordinary had happened to him. Now, let's look, and I want to share with you a couple of thoughts about this scripture. How did this man come to find the healing that he received? And not only the healing, if you notice what we read there, the Bible says in verse 16, and his name, through faith, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know, and yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Not only that, but it brought this man to faith. Let me share with you a couple of little truths tonight about this scripture. Coming off from revival, we look. Anybody that's been around church for a while has noticed something happening. There's been a transition. We're seeing the transition, just as the Bible said, from the time of open doors and people being saved and large numbers being saved to doors being shut. And we see the church age of Laodicea. The Bible describes it in Revelation chapter 3 as a worldly time, a worldly church, a church that has all the comforts they need, but yet they don't realize they need God. They don't realize that the most important thing in their life is to receive Christ. And so therefore what they do is, you find in that church age, the last church age before Christ comes, you find them on the outside of the heart knocking to come in. And he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open, I'll come in and I'll sup with him, he with me. But then you also find that the Bible says little they know how blind and wretched and poor they really are. And I believe we're living in that time, and we're seeing a time where we're seeing a decrease. I know we were talking about it earlier, and I know some of you have been around for a little while. You know, I was thinking Friday night during the service, feeling the Spirit of the Lord and seeing. And I was thinking, boy, that felt like some of the old meetings we used to have. The only difference was most of the time when we have those type of meetings, we see 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 get saved. Don't see that much anymore. We were talking about for church. You know, there was a time when we saw for 4 months, a little over 4 months, we saw someone walk out every church service we had. Don't see that much anymore. One Wednesday night, saw 10 people get saved. Don't see that much anymore. We're seeing all the signs of the wanting down of the church age and the soon coming of the Lord. Now, I said that to say this. That doesn't mean we quit. I want you to notice what was instrumental in this man being healed. This man finding Jesus. This man praising God. First of all, it was the faithfulness of the disciples. Did you notice? Now you got to remember, during the transition, the apostles at first, and especially Peter and John and them, they were instrumental in reaching the Jews. As a matter of fact, Peter and Paul had a disagreement over whether Gentiles could be brought in or if they had to be circumcised. And Peter, remember, Peter had a dream and was sent to Cornelius' house. And he thought that it was wrong to present that which is holy to unclean people, Gentiles. He had an issue with that. But you've got to remember that Peter, here, he was sent to the Jews. So during this transition period between of the church and the Jewish people that they were reaching and people being saved, what was happening was this. Peter and them, they would go into the temple, and they would go in there. They were faithful to pray during the time that it was prayed. They would pray three different times during the day, morning, noon, and night. And so they were faithful about their things. Had they not been faithful of attending the temple of God, the man would never have been healed. He would never found. He didn't come there looking for God. He come there looking for money. He would come every day. And he would look for money. That was a means that he had of trying to support himself and buy something and eat. Now, think about this a minute. If this church is going to be effective seeing people saved, somebody's got to be faithful to it. It's easy to say, well, let somebody else be faithful. And somebody said, boy, I sure like to see somebody saved. Well, how faithful are you? Do you invite people to come to church? Do you pray for the services before we get here? Do you pray that God would use you? When you're here and God lays a song on your heart, do you jump up and sing the song? When you're in the middle of service and God gives you testimony, do you stand up and give Him praise? How many of you have ever sat in a place in a church service when somebody else did that and you got tremendously blessed by what they did? What if God wants to use you? You see the reason why this man, part of the reason why this man was able to find Jesus, Peter and John was faithful. They were faithful to Christ. They were faithful to the church. They were faithful to their Christian duties. It was their duty to go and pray three times a day. They'd go pray. Had they not been there and not been at the ninth hour praying, the man would have missed them. I wonder how many times we missed opportunities. How many have ever had the Lord tell you to do something that you didn't do? Amen. How many times do you wonder that maybe someone was there that would receive something from it? So the point I'm trying to make is there's some things that was unique here that helped this man to come and find Jesus. One is the faithfulness of the disciples. You know, you've got to think. I've often said this. I had one time, I had a lady come, and I went back. She's sitting back there, about where Misty was, and I introduced myself to her. And she said this. She said, oh, I'm a member of the church. I'd been pastoring for about 18, 19 years. Never seen her. Oh, she said, well, I came before that. But my point was, where would this church be had it depended upon her tithes and offerings to help pay the electric bills? Or how many missionaries would have been sent out if we depended upon her share of the offerings to send out missions? Or why would we even attend? Because some churches have closed their doors on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights because they can't get people to attend. Why is it so hard to get people to attend on Sunday night and Wednesday night? But listen, folks, if we're going to see people saved, then we've got to do our part. It starts with us being faithful if we're going to see other people rich. This man, had it not been for Peter and John and their faithfulness, this man would never even began. But it was because their faithfulness opened the opportunity for him to find Jesus. Amen. Now, not only that, but there was another equation involved. The Bible said they would come and lay him every day at this place. His family, his friends, they cared enough about him. Now think about this a minute, folks. How many of our family and friends do we care enough to put forth an effort to try to get them to a place where they can be helped? You see, the family and friends thought that he could find help at the house of God. Now, I believe this. I believe whatever people's going through, that the house of God is the best possibility in the world for them to find help. But they were somebody that put forth an effort to carry him and pick him up and bring him every day and come and get him and take him home. That took effort. Somebody said, well, I get so tired of teaching this class. I get so tired of picking up the kids. I get so tired of doing this. Yes, our flesh gets tired, but listen to me. Somebody's got to care enough to put forth the effort to get people where they can be saved and be helped by the Lord. Amen. And a lot of people has no means or no will, as we preached this morning, no will to be there. Unless somebody cares enough to bring them. Every one of us are guilty, I guess, passing people every day that doesn't come to church and not asking them and not trying to invite them, or maybe sharing the gospel. We've got this idea anymore that if we just get them in church, everybody's going to heaven, is going to church, but that's not true. But church and getting them in the house of God is a place to hear. I told somebody a while ago, I said, preaching messages like we preached this morning, used to, you preach a message like that, you'd hardly ever see preach a message like that. You didn't see somebody move. Somebody get saved. But what we have to do is this, folks. We have to get them in a place where they can hear, where they can be helped, and get them into the house of God. Somebody's got to have compassion to do that. And here he had family and friends that did that. They had a commitment. They had a confidence, hopefully he'd be able to get some alms there. The third thing was this. Then the man, when he was introduced, and as we preached this morning, he had to make a choice. He had to believe. He had to choose to believe what Peter and John and the message that they were preaching, and believe in Jesus and the power of Jesus. He had to have faith in him. And this man had to exercise that faith. We can get them here, we can preach to them, but they must believe. They must be able to believe from their heart and trust that the Lord can help them in their situation. And this man, what happened was, he come, he answered the call. Peter reached his hand out. And he told him, believe the power that Jesus Christ of Nazareth had. He believed. He got up. And when he did, he received healing. And when he received healing then, he went into the temple. The Bible says he was jumping and leaping and praising God. Amen. He received what he needed when he was willing to act upon faith. That's why I tell you sometimes when you feel the Spirit really dealing with some heart, that's the time to quit anything else you're doing and get serious about that person being saved. And sometimes you can feel it. Sometimes I have some you, or sometimes during testimony of, we come back on Sunday night and Sunday morning, you say, boy, this morning I felt the Lord really dealing with people. Well, that's the time we need to quit our foolishness. Be quiet, sit still. Pray. And pray that God would take and use a message and deal with people's heart. And last but not least, his problem disappeared. He found what he was looking for. Not only was he healed, but he also believed enough that he was praising God and lifting him up. And other people was getting a witness by his change of life. You know the greatest thing that would draw people in? I remember one time we had a revival service with Brother Sorrells. That week, I think we had 2 weeks of revival. And as Brother Sisson was saying the other day, you can't get people come 3 days for revival anymore, much less 2 weeks. But we had 2 weeks, and I remember that we had 22 saved during that week. And people was hearing that people was getting saved. And we were packing the house out. We had to set chairs out to accommodate the crowds. And you know what was drawing them? They were hearing the things that was happening to people when they came. There's no greater testimony to draw other people in is for when someone gets their heart truly changed, their life changes, and when they go back out there, people see that something's happened to them, and they get curious about what's going on. And they come to seek it. And hopefully, then they can find it themselves. And so tonight, I want you to understand, something great happened this man. But there was a collective effort to get this man to the place where he needed to be, where he could hear the word of God and be saved. That's where we come in at, those of us who are saved. And that's where those of us part of the church, that's where we come in at. And so tonight, I want to share that with you because we still, even though I realize we don't see the people move like we used to, doesn't mean we quit on what we're doing. Because people still need to be saved, amen. Let's stand tonight and give song of invitation. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved and God spoke to your heart. But those of us who are, we need to take heed and understand that sometimes maybe the lack of seeing as many saved as what we want or seeing people saved is because we're not putting forth the effort. I know I thought about it myself, and God kind of condemned my heart about it. That not putting forth the effort as we need to do, having the compassion we need to have to try to get people under the preaching of the word. Maybe you're here tonight, you need to come. How about it? As we sing.